this is kind of a Celebrate Recovery takeover, and there's a couple of things that we wanted to accomplish with this morning. And this all kind of really comes out of the fact that we're just really excited to get this going, and we want to bring you as our church family, even those of you who aren't going to be a part of Celebrate Recovery in leadership or attending, we want you to have a really clear picture of what's going on with this ministry, because we think it's really important, the specific work that God has called us to do, but also it's important for who we are as a church as well. So we're going to get into a little bit of the why behind why we're doing Celebrate Recovery. And we're also going to be asking you to pray for us. And at the end of our service this morning, we'll have our deacons and Pastor Levi will come and pray for our team that's starting this thing off. And so we'll be asking you to join in on that with us. But I wanted to share, especially for those of you who haven't been around for very long and maybe haven't heard us talk much about Celebrate Recovery yet, I wanted to just give a quick reminder or summary of what Celebrate Recovery is and how it works. Celebrate Recovery, as the name suggests, is a recovery ministry. But it's a little bit different than what we typically think of, or at least what I typically think of when I think about recovery groups. And we'll hear it in depth from someone who has a ton of experience with AA as an example of another recovery group about how they're different. But what I love about Celebrate Recovery is that it takes away a little bit of the, first, the stigma that coming to something like a recovery group often has with it, right? There's some shame, there's fear, there's, okay, who's going to see me at this thing, that kind of thing. And I think the way Celebrate Recovery is structured really helps take away some of that, because it's a recovery ministry that's really for everybody. It's not just focused on alcohol or substances or other things like that. It's for anybody who has a hurt, hang up, or habit. Those are the three words that they use in Celebrate Recovery. And if you think about it, I said this summer as I spoke about Celebrate Recovery, really, that's all of us. We all have some kind of hurt, some kind of hang up that we're dealing with, and many of us have habits that we need freedom from as well. And so Celebrate Recovery is going to really cast a wide net in terms of who this is for. And so we wanted to make that really clear, and it's something that's distinct about Celebrate Recovery. It's also based on Scripture. So Celebrate Recovery, and we're going to get into this in depth this morning, has what's called the eight principles, or nine. Is it eight? See, we had training yesterday. My brain is still very overflowing with all this stuff about Celebrate Recovery. So they have these eight principles, and the principles really just follow the Beatitudes. So I wanted to read, before I bring up some of our volunteers here to talk about this some more, I wanted to read a passage for you from Matthew. We're going to start at the end of chapter 4, which is right before the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, which starts the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're not familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, it's a really important part of Jesus's ministry when he was here on earth, because what he did is he came and basically laid out, this is what the kingdom of God is like, and this is who it's for. So the Beatitudes that we're going to read here is right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and it gives this outline of the values of God's kingdom and how they're different from the values of the world. And it also did something interesting for the Jewish leaders at the time when they heard him teach this. They felt challenged because it lifted obedience to God above all other values. If you're familiar with the Jewish people and their story, part of what the Jewish leaders did at the time that Jesus was born, and before that even, was they had been kind of adding things on top of this obedience to God idea, and all of a sudden their values got out of whack, and those things that they had added on started to become more important to them than the simple call that they had to be obedient to God. So Jesus is speaking in that context. So this is what he says. This is starting in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. So if you've got your Bible, you can read along with me. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then he says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So this passage really is the foundation of what we'll be talking about each week when we gather for Celebrate Recovery. And if you grab one of the note cards this morning, you'll see those principles listed with their corresponding passages. And it's interesting, if you look at that, they used a different translation where instead of saying blessed are the da-da-da, they said happy are the, which is kind of an interesting way to think about that. But this is what Celebrate Recovery is built on. It's really about helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus, which is, as Pastor Travis said this morning, we didn't coordinate that. That is what we're all about here. That is our driving principle. We want to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And as I look at these principles from Celebrate Recovery, the first time I read them, I went, oh, this is just a really clear, structured plan for how to help people do that, how to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. So we're going to break that down a little bit this morning, but I wanted you to see how that fits in so closely with our mission as a church. This is what we want to be about. And if you're new with us, or maybe it's been a long time since you were in the evangel class, we have kind of a structure that we use to help us visualize what things we do at Evangel and what things we don't do. And if you've been through this before, you may remember there was like a step image that we have. It's really kind of what is our foundation and then how do we build on those things. And so just to give you a quick idea of what that looks like, we say that at the very bottom, our foundation for who we are as Evangel and what we do is based on our beliefs. What do we see in Scripture? What do we believe about God? What do we believe about who God has called us to be? Our beliefs are at the foundation of that. And then on top of that, we can start to build our values. So if you have your beliefs, the things that are important, well, now we go to what are the values that we have as a church? So building on top of that, we get our purpose. Why are we doing what we do? And then you can build on top of that a mission, right? Those first three, beliefs, values, and purpose, they don't change. If we're based on Scripture, if we're looking at the Word of God and continuing to follow what He's called His people to do for generations and generations, those things don't change. But when we get to our methods, now things can start to change. This is when we can shift and when we can try new things. This is what we're doing here with Celebrate Recovery. And then on top of that, we build our goals. So all of the things that we do here are built on the beliefs that we have built as we read Scripture and study Scripture together. So, Celebrate Recovery. I want to invite a couple of our leaders up here right now to join me on the stage. We have Kathy Tazak and Lisa Watrous. If you could welcome them as they come up. So, you guys can have a seat. Lisa and Kathy have been a part of the conversation since the very beginning as we started talking about Celebrate Recovery. And also, some of you may know if you've been around here for a long time, Celebrate Recovery is not a new idea for us here at Evangel. We were really close to getting it off the ground several years ago. And so this is kind of revisiting that and trying to push it all the way through here. But it's also something that we've been praying about well before I got here. And so we're excited to get that going. But these two have been with me having this conversation since it first came up, which was, I think, probably in the winter this year when we first started talking about it. And we actually went out to a training conference in Indiana together. We got a really nice upgrade on our rental. Remember that? That was cool. So we've been learning a lot. We've been talking a lot. They've been a part of basically a small group that's been meeting to go through some of the principles that we're going to talk about today. And so I thought they would be helpful for you to hear some of their perspective on what we're doing and why we're doing it. So let's jump in with the first question here. And I've got a microphone for whoever wants to start. But I wanted to talk a little bit about why we're doing Celebrate Recovery.
I think there are many reasons why we're doing Celebrate Recovery. You know, Ezekiel, there's a passage in Ezekiel that comes to mind every time I think about Celebrate Recovery. And God does a weird thing with the prophet Ezekiel. In chapter 37, God says to the prophet, he leads Ezekiel around and he says, he led me around among them and behold, there were very many dry bones on the surface of the valley. And they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord God, only you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus the Lord God said to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I think when I think about Celebrate Recovery, it's the life-giving hope that we find in Jesus that looks like transformation. It looks like freedom from hurts and habits and hang-ups and sin. And it looks like life for all of us. And one of the beautiful things about CR, and I think the reason why we're doing it, is because it does, in fact, help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And it does that by transforming one life at a time. And that's what Jesus was about. He was about finding the lost sheep. He was about meeting, as Pastor John read from Matthew 4, he was about meeting those who are sick and hurt and lonely. And that's what CR, it's a model of ministry that offers that. And I'm really excited because I think that's why it fits with the mission of the church, but also our call individually as followers of Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah, you kind of hinted at this. Celebrate Recovery is a tried and true recovery ministry. And so when we talk about why we're doing it, it's also what we've seen and heard stories and testimonies about how it's been effective in helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Kathy, I think you are probably the best one sitting up here to answer this next question. What's the difference between Celebrate Recovery and other recovery groups, as you've experienced both a little bit here?
Right, yeah. I have been part of the recovery community here in our area for about 35 years, and I have nothing but gratitude and good things to say about all that I've learned there, the acceptance, the love, the support that I've received there. And I plan to continue my involvement there. Celebrate Recovery, though, is more of a fit for me. The difference, you know, in other 12-step programs, they talk about relying on a higher power and God as you understand him. So it's pretty much left up to the individual to define who or what God they're going to look to for help. And for me, it's Jesus Christ. And that's definitely the foundation of the Celebrate Recovery program. Also, AA speaks of singleness of purpose, meaning that they are there to help people to stay sober and to help other alcoholics find sobriety. And as you heard Pastor John say, Celebrate Recovery scope is much larger. And I have no doubt that our churches in the area, as well as our community, are filled with people who have these hurts, hang-ups, and habits that could benefit from the scope that Celebrate Recovery offers. Also, I would say that, you know, as far as how are they alike, 12-step programs are very much based on biblical principles. Every one of the 12 steps, which we will read during our Celebrate Recovery evenings here, but we will also plug them into the scripture base for those. And some of the principles of AA, and you'll see that this sounds familiar as far as how do we live our Christian life. Honesty, faith, surrender, soul-searching, moral inventory, integrity, acceptance, humility, willingness, forgiveness, growing in your relationship with God, and also serving. Mm-hmm. So, those are very much things that we are concerned about and cultivating. But again, we totally rely on Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God as far as identifying that. Like I said, I have been a part of 12-step groups for many years and are very grateful for that. And I'll just toss in that I accepted Christ as my Savior on Good Friday, 1972. So if you do the math on that, that's 50 years ago. I was probably a child at the time, in case you are doing the math on that. But I was delivered from alcoholism and chemical dependency at that time. What I did not realize, though, was that I was alcoholic. I knew I had abused alcohol and drugs, but I didn't understand the addiction component of it. And it wasn't until 17 years later that I saw a Christian counselor for an eating disorder. And again, I didn't know that term, eating disorder. I just knew that I really felt defeated in trying to eat responsibly, and I, you know, gain 20, 30 pounds and then lose it and back and forth. And so I had a lot of shame as a believer. I was a student of the Bible from day one, from when I first became a believer. And I am so grateful for the deliverance that Christ brought in my life. From day one, I have been involved in serving Him. As a youth leader, as a Sunday school teacher, I have a speaking and writing ministry. And yet I was clueless as to why I did the compulsive overeating. So my counselor connected the dots between my eating disorder and my alcoholism. And that although Christ had healed me from a lot of the shame from my past and delivered me from the compulsion to use alcohol and drugs, most people with addictions have the uncanny ability to slide into another compulsive behavior. And that's exactly what I did. So my counselor sent me to 12-step groups. And that's where I learned the skills that then helped me to apply the biblical principles mm-hmm. that I knew in my head and in my heart and that I wanted to follow. So I just really am excited about Celebrate Recovery and the added component that it's going to add to my own recovery.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned this, Kathy, but I was surprised when I first started doing Celebrate Recovery materials with our group that the 12 steps from AA are listed there. As she said, it's with scripture that affirms the truth that's in those points. But, that's one of the things that I like about Celebrate Recovery is that it's not saying, you know, throw out everything that has happened before with recovery programs and things like that. It recognizes that there's a lot of good that's been done through that because there's truth there. What they're doing is tying it to scripture. Where does this truth come from?
You know? Right. And that's why millions of people have found sobriety through traditional 12-step groups, because it's truth. It's based on God's truth, but you just don't hear the Bible mentioned.
Right. Right. You know, another thing from Kathy's story that I really appreciate is that you talked about the foundation that you had in Christ first.
Right.
And then later had to realize, oh, I need, and I don't know if this is my word, so tell me if I'm wrong, but like a system to help me daily do this.
Exactly. I understood the concept of surrendering my will to God. And yet I still struggled with this area of food. And I remember just mentally beating myself up for what is wrong with me? Why can't I have control over a chocolate chip cookie or a dish of ice cream or, you know, whatever. And I did not have those answers until I went into counseling and, you know, got the help that I needed. And I'll just say that this took place when we were down on College Avenue. There, shortly after I was starting to learn these new principles and apply them, Just a simple thing like learning how to make a plan if I was going to be in what we call a slippery situation where I could be tempted to go off my food plan. We had an ice cream social at church. Well, if that isn't a minefield for a compulsive overeater. So I made a plan, and I brought a baggie of sliced apples and a little bit of popcorn for my snack so I wouldn't feel deprived and I wouldn't be tempted. And a young woman who happened to be on staff with one of our college ministries came over to me, and she said, "Well, where did you find that snack?" And so I told her, I said, "Well, I brought it from home." And I had never met her before, but I just shared. I said, "You know, I'm in counseling right now, and I'm dealing with an eating disorder. She burst into tears, and she said, "Me too. I'm anorexic, and I have so much shame. I can't share it with anybody."
Mm.
Our churches are filled with people who are struggling and who are stuck in those hurts, habits, and hang-ups.
Absolutely. That leads really well to the next question. And Lisa, if you can speak to this a little bit, who can attend CR? And I'll add a little bit to it. Can you talk about the groups that we'll have, the separate groups we'll have starting off, and maybe what the goal is for that long term?
Yeah, sure. So the short answer is anyone. Anyone who's dealing with a hurt, habit, or hang-up can attend Celebrate Recovery. I just want to echo what Kathy said. I believe that the churches are, our church is full of people who could really benefit from the lessons of recovery, learning to live one day at a time in the arms of Jesus. And at Celebrate Recovery, we begin with an introduction of ourselves. And I'm going to do that just to sort of set the tone for who can attend and what it is that we expect as far as what we've envisioned for the groups. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. My name is Lisa, and I struggle with codependency, and I'm a recovering pastor's kid. I say that because I know some of you, and we attended Vangel many years ago, and then we moved back. And I've been in church since the time I was born. My first words were, "Daddy's Bible." That tells you something. And so I developed habits of covering over the things that I thought were shameful. And then I married someone who also was, who grew up in the church and had habits that were shameful. He found shame in them. And the two of us were just a hot mess needing recovery. And for almost 20 years, we lived this way. We attended church. We served in church. We taught in church. We did all these things. And we knew the truth of scripture, but we couldn't quite connect the dots of the freedom that Jesus offers is also for me too. We have this picture that the sinners are like out there, right? They're like on the corner by Burger King.
Yeah, they're not in here.
Right? They're definitely not in here. But you know what? And everyone can benefit from attending Celebrate Recovery. It is an intense program. And every night, what it looks like, the weekly meetings, we'll be meeting on Mondays at 6:30 in the evening, from 6:30 to 8:30 every Monday starting tomorrow. And the first hour of that meeting is a time of worship and encouragement and sometimes a lesson, sometimes a testimony, but it's just getting together and fixing our eyes on Jesus and the hope that he has for us. The second hour is a time where we break up into gender-specific groups and we work our recovery together in conversation with one another. It's an open share time. When we first kick off, we're just going to have two groups, a men's group and a women's group, and we will invite all issues. So it's going to be a mixed bag of gender-related issues. And we're just going to work the steps together. We're going to talk through the principles. We're going to discuss what the way that God has beautifully ordained transformation for us from his word, from other people. I think, too, the beautiful thing about CR and who can attend it is that it's a part of our church. It's not just a part of the ministry, the missional focus of the church, but also I am prayerful that we will be with one another in these open share groups and we will be in one another's lives in such a way that we really can speak truth to one another towards change. So anybody can attend. Join us.
Absolutely. The first time I went to a Celebrate Recovery meeting, I was really struck by those introductions. If you didn't catch it, it's, "Hi, my name is John. I'm a grateful follower of Jesus, and I struggle with people pleasing." That's one of mine. So on the one hand, I heard that and I went, oh, we're like airing our dirty laundry all together? Oh, okay, great. You know, and I was a little nervous, like, okay, what if they ask? I think I was just there to lead worship. And I was like, oh no, I got to share something that I, you know. That was my first thought. And then as I sat there and watched people around the room introduce themselves and identify themselves with Christ, but also with this hurt, hang-up, or habit that they're dealing with, what I realized is it was shining a light in darkness. It was like, this isn't going to be a place where we pretend like we're all good. We're just going to be honest about who we are and what we've experienced. And, you know, and I think that's a really powerful thing. Lisa, you talked about growing up in the church. I grew up in the church. My experience in church has not been that it's always a place where everybody feels like they can just share something that they, you know, a sin or a habit or whatever that they're ashamed of, or, you know. And I think that's really powerful to be in a context where we go, no, we know we're all sinners. And if I went around and asked right now, I think we would probably, most people in this room would go, yeah, I'm a sinner too.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
Celebrate Recovery is a safe space. That is true. But Evangel, also larger, yeah. Evangel, yeah, is a safe place. The way that my husband and I came to recovery are the people in Evangel without Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to give a plug for the body of Christ. You might not need to attend or don't want to attend Celebrate Recovery, but there are people here who will listen to your story. They will pray with you, and you will see God do amazing things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, as I've been involved in 12-step programs, I've often just had the thought that I feel sorry for anyone who thinks they don't have a reason to be involved, mm-hmm, in a 12-step, mm-hmm, because it is so practical. I mentioned, you know, that I had all the Bible knowledge. I had the desire in my heart to be pleasing to God, to glorify God, and yet my actions, you know, I could stay away from alcohol. I can't stay away from food. I have to handle it 3 times a day, and handle it responsibly. And that's tricky business. So, you know, just taking the whole idea of surrender, I wanted to be surrendered to God. I prayed, God, help me with this. Help me. Give me strength. And yet I would fail again and again. So it wasn't a sincerity in my heart. It was, I didn't know how to do it. But when I went to 12-step programs, I was encouraged to get a sponsor, make myself accountable to somebody. Mm-hmm. And in my case, what I had to do was make a food plan for every day. I could put whatever I wanted on it, but I'd have to run it past my sponsor every day. And it was just a 5-minute phone call. Here's what I'm having for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Here's my snacks. And she'd say, okay, good. And I would commit that if I was going to change that salad I told her I was going to have for lunch into a Whopper and fries, that I would call her and tell her why I thought it was a good, mm-hmm, idea, mm-hmm, before I did it. Not call her afterwards and say, oh, gee, I blew it today. I had to call her beforehand. And that helped me to practically find a practical way to practice surrender. So, mm-hmm, that's some of the stuff, some of the accountability,
absolutely,
that comes with recovery.
Yeah, that's great. I'd like to, before we run out of time, I'd like to take a look at the principles that I mentioned earlier from CR. We'll have those on the screen, and I'm just going to read them one at a time. Lisa and Kathy, if you want to comment on any of them, feel free, okay? But we wanted you to see these because you've heard me mention how these principles are, I think, a really well thought out, well organized process to help someone meet, know, and follow Jesus. Or I should say like this, help someone meet Jesus, help them know him better. And then as you go through, you're following him every day. So let's take a look at these principles again. These are principles that we'll be reading and discussing each week as we gather for Celebrate Recovery, which is an important part of that process. So the first principle is, realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. And that comes out of Matthew 5:3, which I read earlier. I love that it starts here because it's a recognition that we need someone else to take control of our lives, that we're not capable of doing it. And whether you recognize it or not, That's all of us. We all need God to take control and lead the way. And we, I think, have been tricked often in our culture into thinking that we need to be self-sustaining. I don't need extra help. I can do it myself. I want to be in control of everything. And this is one of the things that I love about being in recovery settings, is that often it's a group of people who are sitting there and have experienced what it means to get to the point in life where you can't deny the truth anymore.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that. When I first went into counseling, I saw a Christian counselor, and she knew me. She knew me as a believer in the community. And one of the first assignments she gave me was to read the book called The God Players. And I thought, what? What? She thinks that I play God in my life? And I was offended. And I thought, well, I'll show her. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to take notes, and I'm going to come back and present all the reasons why that is not me. And you probably can see where this story is going, that I could see exactly how I played God in my life. I made myself the ultimate authority when it came to my addiction. I could excuse any behavior, and I was also, I took on over responsibility and kept myself so busy. And then when I was overtired, then that was my excuse to eat things that I knew shouldn't be on my program. And so, yeah, totally a God player here. And that's the human condition.
Yeah.
But it's amplified when you have addictions going on.
Sure. It starts with humility, right? It's humbling. The second principle says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. If we stopped at principle one, it'd be kind of a sad story, right? But we continue on. I need help. Oh, and there's a God who can help me, and I believe in him, and I believe that I matter to him. I think this one sort of speaks for itself why it's so important. This is where we help people see who God is, and that he exists and that he loves them. The third principle says, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. What's the difference between care and control?
Well, care is God cares for me, meaning he loves me in that respect, but he also cares for me and takes care of me, provides for me. His control means, to me, surrendering my will to his will. I love what Elizabeth Elliot said, something to the effect of, if I'm going to pray thy will be done, like we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer, then I must, if the situation requires it, be willing to release my will, let go of my will. And so that's the whole part of trusting his control, that he always has my best interest in mind. We may be reluctant to trust even the person that we love the most here on earth, because we hurt each other, we fail each other, but God never, ever fails us. So he is the one that we absolutely can surrender control of our life, of our life too.
Absolutely. That's great. Let's look at the fourth principle. It says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Lisa, what's this one all about?
You know, I think this one is the hardest for church rats. because confessing my faults to God and myself is one thing. I might have self-awareness. But confessing to someone that I trust is an entirely different big bag of worms, or so I thought. And I think that once we speak the sin that is plaguing us, there is a moment where God comes in, and by the help of the body, by the help of our recovery friends, he eases that load for us. Yeah, it's yucky. It is horrible to say the things. But at the same time, God is there, and he meets us, and his arms are wide and really comfy. And I think that there is, in the confession, we find maybe the first glimpse of the freedom that can be had in Jesus.
Absolutely.
I think, too, you know, two of the most powerful words for me and healing words are me too. So when you come into recovery and you start getting honest about your struggles, you find out, oh, you're not the first and you're not the worst. And there is something really encouraging and hopeful about that, that, you know, well then, especially if you, you know, see someone who's farther along in recovery and they've had the same struggles as you and you start to have just that glimmer of hope that maybe, maybe this could work for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's look at principle number 5. It says, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defect. This is where it starts to get into the follow, meet, know, and follow Jesus. And as we've been going through these steps now for a few months, this is the one that I go back to the most, thinking about what is my daily decision to follow Christ look like? It's about submission. It's about letting him have control, as we've talked about, and letting him work in my life. It's an important step as we talk about, and we use the word recovery, right? Because that's what we're talking about here. But I think if you're going to turn at all towards the new life that Christ has for you, it's the same kind of thing. We have to make the same kind of decision every day.
I think too, step 5 brings, actually all of these principles bring us back to the very first principle, which is I'm not God. And when you think about voluntarily submitting every day, every moment to the will of God, mm-hmm. The only being in the universe who knows the whole story is God, not me. It is necessary that I submit every moment, every day to the will of God, because I don't know. I know how the big story ends, but I don't know. I don't know the things, and God does. And I think every principle brings us back to the reality that we need, that I need God, that I must depend on him for my recovery, for my parenting, mm-hmm. For the ways that I treat the people in my life. And, God's the only one who can do it.
Mm-hmm. It made me think too of in 1 John where it says that if you say you have no sin, the truth isn't in you. You're lying. You know, mm-hmm. you're lying. So we do. We all have those things in our life that plague us and that we can stay stuck in if we're not willing to be open about them.
Open hands.
There really is. There's something magical about it. And by admitting that we have those things in our lives, that opens us, as that principle says, for mm-hmm. God to work in our hearts to bring about the change. It just doesn't fly to say, yeah, well, I've always been that way. You know, that's just the way I'm made. Not according to God. Mm-hmm. You know, we come to him as we are with all of our messes, but he loves us too much to let us stay there. That's not an original thought. I can't remember where I read that, but,
absolutely.
So he's always at work in us.
Yeah. Principle number 6 says, evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. This speaks to the reality that God came to rescue us and to bring us into relationship with him, but he also came so that when we enter into that relationship with him, there's the possibility for restoration of our other relationships too. And I say possibility because as we've talked about in Celebrate Recovery in our meetings, sometimes making amends or trying to restore a relationship, that relies on the other person to reciprocate, and they don't always. But I like the wording here that it's offering that up, looking for forgiveness, seeking forgiveness out, and making amends when you can. Principle 7 says, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life and to gain a power to follow his will. This is one of those steps only people in recovery need, right? The rest of us are good. We don't need daily time. No.
Everybody's a creeper, man.
Yeah. Again, this is one of those points where I'm like, well, I wouldn't lead anybody through that. I'd lead a new believer through this because this is what we need to continue growing and continue to know God more and more. And then I'll jump down to the last one. This is principle 8. It says, yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and my words. So a question for you, last question here. How is Celebrate Recovery going to help people do this? Be used by God to bring this good news to others.
When God does a thing in your life, you want to share it. right? When God redeems you and he rescues your marriage and he does things that only he could do, the natural response is to tell people about it. And as we share our stories with one another of recovery and hope and transformation, God gets the glory. And then more people get to see the loving, amazing, transformative power that is found in Jesus. And so, I just don't think you can be quiet once God does a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of the structures in Celebrate Recovery. You heard Lisa mention that we'll have open share groups. This is part of what's happening there, is as we share our stories of how God has rescued us and helped us find recovery, it helps other people. It really does. And I've already experienced and seen when someone shares and names the thing that they're struggling with, some of that power gets taken away from that. And so sharing it with others, making it, I think Pastor Levi, you said something yesterday in our training meeting, something to the effect of like, we want to normalize these kinds of conversations. And that's part of what we're trying to do with Celebrate Recovery. Because again, we recognize that all of us have hurts, hangups, and habits of some kind that we need God to help us through. And so this is what CR is here for. So a couple things that you can do to help support this ministry, even if it's not for you, one that you're going to be at or attending or things like that. First and foremost, you can be praying for us. I am very, very hopeful that God is going to bring people who are broken and who are lost. And that's going to take some walls to be torn down for those people to come, just knowing the nature of these kinds of things. I think that there are people sitting in this room right now who you know that Celebrate Recovery is something that you need to be a part of, but you're scared or you feel shame about it. And so we're praying that God would be working in you even right now as you're hearing us talk about this. Let's normalize these discussions, because it's a reality for all of us to some degree. So be praying for us. We have some serving opportunities as well with Celebrate Recovery. There's all kinds of things. We were talking through our schedule for Monday nights yesterday, and it's basically a Sunday morning service mini. So there's all kinds of serving opportunities. We're working really hard to have childcare available every Monday night, and so we could use some more help with that if that's something that you're gifted in or would like to be able to serve with. There's hospitality needs as well, coffee and snacks and things like that. We're going to have a time of worship every week. So, you know, if you're a musician, maybe coming up here on a Sunday morning is too scary for you. I don't know. Come, we'll help you out over at Celebrate Recovery. And then the third thing is just to share. Tell people that we have this coming. We've got some invite cards out by the Welcome Center. You can grab those today. And be conscious of people around you who would benefit from something like Celebrate Recovery. Tell them about it. Send them our way. You can even come with them if they're scared to come on their own. Whatever it takes, let's get the news and let's get the word out about what we're doing with Celebrate Recovery. Again, starting tomorrow, 6:30 to 8:30, we are beyond excited to get this going, and we appreciate your prayers and support. Before we turn it over to the worship team, we wanted to invite Pastor Levi and any of the deacons who are in the room right now to come, and they are going to lead us in a time of prayer. And any Celebrate Recovery volunteers, you can come join us on stage as well.
If you remember the start of our series, This Means War, we said we want to have a church and houses that are filled with what is God doing in your life. And this is just another component of having the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, whether we're going to bed or whether we're rising or whether we're walking around, that we would know that God is at work in our lives and that he would be showing up and that we'd be able to answer that question. And so we're really excited for this ministry. We're excited for you guys as you've put a lot of time and preparation in this. And we just want to take some time to pray over this. And I'm going to ask Kevin to start us, and maybe a couple of you guys down there pray, and Steve, close it.
Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I want to lift up these individuals in the name of your Son as they reach out into the Copper Country. We live in a lost and broken world, where people have their hurts, hang-ups, and habits. We want to provide a safe and open environment for them to come in, for us to seek those lost individuals, and we can put the joy of Jesus into their hearts, that they can become new souls. Thank you so much for all that you provide for us.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for those who have come forward to lead this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for their stories, for their sense of commitment, for their love for you. We pray, Lord, that they'll be sustained and they'll be strong and in their walk, and that they will have the resources that they need. And we pray for all those who will come forward, who seek a deeper walk with you, and that this ministry will be a testimony for others, Lord, who seek to know you better. We pray this in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this group of Celebrate Recovery leaders, and thank you for all the people going to join this Celebrate Recovery group. When we celebrate recovery, we are not just celebrate for ourselves, we celebrate for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we are all weak. When we claim we are weak, we know we are strong in Jesus. So we pray for this group of people. They can know Jesus more in this through this process, that also can share this good news through their testimony, and share the good news through this couple country, and bring more people to Jesus Christ. My prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I thank you so much for the freedom and the hope that you've given us through what your Son has done, Lord. And I thank you that that is available to all of us. And I just pray that you would use this ministry to spread that hope, and allow people to make connections for how that hope affects where they are right now, Lord. And I just pray that you would break down barriers that may be preventing people from joining this group, Lord, that you would just help them to see what's available to them and the hope that you've given them, and that they would be able to come and be set free through connecting truth to their lives, Lord. I just pray that you would bless these leaders, give them strength to be able to serve, and be able to help these people. And Lord, I pray that you would just encourage us as a church with the stories that will come out of this ministry, stories of freedom and stories of change, and that you would just build your kingdom through what is being done here and through this ministry, Lord, that many would come to know you and that your church would be built through this ministry, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.